If something's on your mind, making you mad, tips to stay kind, take time to breathe, put your head at ease, and let's talk about it.
Welcome one and all to a very special episode of Talk About a Podcast. I think I've spent about half an hour here in front of my mic trying to record the perfect opening to this episode. But I've come to the realization that it's never going to be perfect. But I'm going to try and make it as special as it can be, because this episode marks the 1 year anniversary of starting this podcast, of me starting this journey. And I started this podcast because two teens in my local area both took their own lives, both in a couple of weeks of each other. And I started this podcast to destigmatize mental health and to really give a voice to young people and to support their work. And, you know, I plan to do that for many more years to come. But there isn't an episode that is released. There isn't an interview that is done. There isn't a recording that I record without me thinking of them. And I always, with every episode, dedicate this entire podcast to them. I really, really do. This is why I've started this podcast, and it's the reason I keep doing it for them. And I really, really hope that they enjoy it. But of course, this podcast really wouldn't be here today without the support of my family and friends, who I thank every single day for their support. They have truly been fantastic. To the entire Lust for Life team for their support since day one. I am absolutely honoured and humbled to have been able to work alongside you and say I have, you know, been on such an incredible page and worked alongside you is just incredible. So thank you all so much. To the entire team behind the Western People paper, which is the regional paper here in my town, who have given me the fabulous opportunity of writing a fortnightly article in their paper. To my editor there, who is so supportive, and, you know, to the entire team there who have just been so welcoming. Thank you all so much. To the friends I've made across the globe, in Australia, in America, and across Ireland as well. You guys are such incredible people, and you make me smile, you make me laugh, and you support me. I know there's been a few of you who've gotten voice messages from me, nearly on the verge of tears over this podcast, because, you know, it's not all highs, it's not all film festivals and red carpets and fabulous interviews and yeses all the time. There comes a lot of no's, and there comes a lot of failed internet connections and recording redos. And, you know, I'm recording this in my spare bedroom of my house. I don't have a fancy studio, so it's not all glamour. So you guys have always supported me, so thank you so much. But a really, really special thank you as well to Hannah Kinsella, who has recorded the opening and closing music of this fantastic podcast. You know, thank you so much as well, Hannah, for your support and for being a part of it. It's truly amazing. I know I always love turning on my podcast and listening to your voice, opening and closing it off for everyone. And I know many others do as well. But I suppose my biggest thank you has to go to my over 800 followers on Instagram @_talkaboutapodcast. And as well to everyone who's listened to this podcast, because this podcast has now gotten more than 1.2 thousand listens, which is insane. Absolutely insane. I never thought that it would grow this big or this quickly as it has. And I know for some people this might seem like a lot, but you have to remember, I started this podcast with absolutely no experience. Like I said, I'm in the spare bedroom of my house, and I really only started this podcast because I wanted to make the two teens who had unfortunately left this earth too soon. I wanted to make them proud. And I really wanted to get the message of mental health out there. And I hope I have done that for people. And I know I will continue to try and do so. And yeah, it's just been an incredible journey, and long may it last. And a final thank you to every single interviewee I've had on here on this podcast since the very start until now, because you guys are so inspiring. And there's not an interview I come away from where I'm not buzzing, where I haven't taken something away, where I haven't been inspired to learn, to become, to do. You guys are just incredible individuals, and I am every day so thankful that I've had the opportunity to sit down and talk to you, to the people I haven't met in person through my interviews. I hope one day we will cross paths, because you're just incredible people. So without further ado, I'm going to jump on into today's very special interview, but I suppose this is just my formal thank you to each and every person here today for supporting me in this 1 year anniversary of my podcast. Thank you all. So for this very, very special bonus episode, I'm absolutely delighted to talk to musician Kevin Walsh. He's here with me now. Kevin, how are you doing today?
Very good, Emmeline. How are you?
I'm excellent, thank you. You know, today is celebrating the 1 year anniversary of my podcast, and this is a very special episode for me. And I'm chatting to you because I think you have such an incredible story, and this podcast really, one of the things I wanted to do when I first started it was to talk to young musicians like yourself. So I was only delighted when you reached out to me. So do you want to tell people a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, sure. So I'm bringing out my debut single next week, 13th of April. It's called Embrace the World, and it's in a supergroup arrangement with Emma Langford, Mark Daly, Rebecca Houlihan, Molly Lynch, Caroline Kay, Lisa Curran, and Jero Hanlon, and Stephen Gormley from Boom Looks On. So it's this ensemble arrangement like you have at the end of a musical. And it's all in aid of the Autism Charity of Ireland, as I am.
And such an incredible lineup, might I add. I had the absolute pleasure of listening to the song before we came on here to do this interview. And it's such a powerful, moving song. It really, really is. So do you want to tell people how you came up with the idea for this song? What sparked your interest to write this song?
Well, it was a nice sunny day, around middle of November last year. Actually, a year and a half ago. And I was walking in the park, and there was this particular tree that I passed every time, and the branches of it had a very peculiar shape. They were reaching out in a kind of a circular shape, like it was reaching out to embrace the world around it. And then that's where the title Embrace the World came from.
That is absolutely beautiful, Kevin. And it's such a gorgeous song. How did you come to collaborate with all these fantastic musicians?
Well, some I'd known through college and through having done other gigs before in Cork. But I'm going to give special props to Lisa Curran, who's singing on the track, wonderful vocal coach from Trinity. And she wrangled in the other half of the cast. She wrangled in Caroline Kay from London. Well, she's from Dublin, but now she's living in London, and Stephen Gormley and Rebecca and Mark. So we had the first half of the cast assembled at that stage. And with Emma Langford, it was just a case of reaching out for, I sent her an email, and she more than happily agreed to do it. And I'm very flattered that she agreed to do it, because I had the privilege of seeing her when she was first starting out. So if these are all people that I've been a big fan of for ages and just dying to work with, but never could quite figure out the right opportunity or the right time to do it. And with kind of in the middle of kind of self-reflection during COVID, I thought, well, okay, now it's time just to buckle up and get on with it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what you did, and to great success as well. I mean, I'm so excited. The song's going to be released on the 13th of April, 3 days from when this podcast episode will be released. It is such a huge, exciting thing, I think, for you. What's it feeling like knowing that you've worked with these people and now the product of your work is going to be released to people?
It's very surreal. I don't think it's completely sunk in yet, because even just through the course of work they've done with it, I've had the opportunity to meet even bigger people in the media and the music industry. I was on the 6 o'clock show on Virgin Media yesterday, Una Healy and Barry Dowling were presenting. And I had no idea they were going to be presenting at all. I thought it was just going to be Martin and Karen, but nothing against Martin and Karen, but again, Una was something I've been a fan of for ages. I remember being a teenager and the Saturdays were first coming onto the scene.
Yeah, exactly. I remember them as well. They're a household name for me here.
Yeah. And Una's cool. And the week before that, I was at the Aviva singing for the same chance, World Autism Conference. And you had Miriam O'Callaghan from RTE at it. You had Dervla Burke and Crystal Swing. And you the writer, Stephanie Preisner. Again, big fan of. I've been following her exploits on TV for a number of years now. And she was at it because she was only diagnosed with autism herself last October.
Okay.
So it was just amazing being in the same room with all these people on the same spectrum. It was a microcosm of the culture that I wanted to create on this track because you have different genres and vocal timbres. Like I have one sound, Emma Langford has a different sound. Mark Daly is very raspy. And on paper, you kind of wouldn't necessarily see these genres as coming together. But I was very specific about that because the spectrum of autism because you get the range from verbal to non-verbal and everything in between.
That's very true. And I've done an episode about autism before with the founder of Autism Siblings Ireland, Freya O'Hora. So people can come back and listen to that one if they wish. And we do, you know, discuss about autism and how it affects different people. But I think it's amazing that you all came together for, you know, as I am, because although, like you said, you all have different sounds and different voices, it all blends together very well. And you're all, you know, coming together for such a fantastic organization. So can I ask why, as I am, why are you releasing this on World Autism Month?
Because you're talking to an autistic person. Well, why as I am is because about 6 or 7 years ago, they came out with a documentary on RTE, even their first starting out, called Autism and Me. Mm-hmm. And their founder, Adam Harris, was on it and he was talking about his experiences growing up autistic. And I found them very similar to mine because he started out in a specialist school and then mainstreamed with an SNA. And he had a whole host of other people on it of different backgrounds and stories. And what I found very fascinating about it because they were really playing their autism as their strength. And because growing up in the 90s, being diagnosed in the 90s as a kid, autism wasn't known about very much in Ireland. It was still very much in kind of the dark ages, as in the earliest specialist services were on the middle of hillsides in the middle of nowhere. So you didn't get a whole opportunity to interact outside your kin, and even the language around was very medical orientated. It was very kind of, well, the struggles are with this, this, and this. And this documentary that Adam did acknowledged that, but they went, okay, well, the strengths are this, this, and that. And yes, we do struggle with this, but we have just as much strength in the other thing. And that was a revelation for me because I'd internalized this sense of anxiety and can't because of experiences I had starting out. I had a lot of issues with eating disorders and transitioning from baby food to solid food and learning all the social cues and stuff that you just aren't wired with naturally as an autistic person. So I'd been carrying around this kind of sense of anxiety, like kind of that I was, you use the cliche, the alien in the corner of the room. And after seeing this documentary, I decided, well, okay, that was the start of me thinking, okay, well, it doesn't have to be that way. Now, it took a few years and a lot of emotional reflection to get to that point because I'm very stubborn by nature and any idea that I have is very hard to let go of. But because as Emma is such a self-advocating charity, a lot, Adam is autistic, so are a lot of their team and a lot of their board members. So it's very much a charity by autistic people for autistic people. It's not like, say, other charities that are set up by angry parents.
Yeah, no, 100%. And they do fantastic work. And I'm, you know, I am learning about it when you emailed about coming on this podcast. I did a little bit of research on As I Am. And, you know, they're an incredible organization here in Ireland. And it's, you know, it's always so great. I think I always get so excited when I see people working with and for charity organizations. I just think it's so, so important. But how did you come up with the idea to blend your music with this charity?
Because music is just how I roll. It's something I have a very spiritual connection with. As my mom would tell you, I could sing before I could talk. And I distinctly remember my earliest memories of music being listening to like Guns N' Roses and Meatloaf in the car and watching because back in the 90s, all the music videos were so fantastic and they had this stunning, epic imagery, like driving, chasing airplanes and burning trucks and riding motorcycles through graveyards. And that kind of imagery got embedded in my mind as what music is. That could be this grand thing. And these artists felt like superheroes. They felt like real life superheroes.
Yeah. And how did you become a musician then? What kind of spurred in you the love, not only for music, but to become a musician?
It's this deep emotional connection that even like nowadays, I find difficult to explain just to find all the right words for it. But it's the transformative quality of it, if I was to sum it up. Like going back to the superhero thing, like Axl Rose could be like a normal guy in real life, but you put him in a music video with all these guitars around him, and then all of a sudden he's Superman. So this idea of transforming into something that's bigger and better and braver than what you feel you could ever be yourself. And the idea of portraying characters and telling these real stories and connecting with these very visceral emotions on a deep level. And I just had this notion from a young age that I wanted to be just like these guys. I wanted to do what they do and create the beauty that they do, because they helped me find a beauty in myself that I didn't necessarily know that I had.
Wow, that is absolutely amazing, Kevin. And it's I think it's always so fascinating to hear what music means to people. And that's just really warmed my heart to hear you say that. You mentioned earlier that when you were, you know, younger, you were dealing with a lot of anxiety, and did music help that? Was music a factor that helped your mental health?
Oh, big time. Big time, because music from like songs for me are like what novels are for other people. It's just a chance to put your feet up, escape and go into these different magical, fantastic worlds. And then you forget your own troubles. Because I love analyzing every detail of things. Like I love like going into how the band are arranged. I love going into the lyrics, the chord progressions, and the emotions of the piece. And that was my catharsis, in a sense, because once you listen to, like, take the song Out There from Hunchback of Notre Dame, very inspiring piece. It's one of my favorite Disney musicals. They always had these songs in them about wanting to belong and be beyond what they are currently. And they're written so beautifully that I could see myself inside those pieces, but I could see a character inside those pieces that I could relate to, and like having a friend to vent your problems to.
Which is absolutely amazing, Kevin.
And then extending on to that, it's even just the physical catharsis of singing.
And how did you start singing? How did that come about? Was it always something you were saying? Your mum said you always sang, but you were singing before you learned to talk.
Yeah, it's one of those things that, like with everything else, that was there since before I could remember. like, I don't remember wanting to be anything else. Okay, well, I tell a lie. I did go through a few years where I wanted to be a video game designer, and that's my two loves, retro video games and music. And so the singing, I also wanted to do it, but what inspired me to train was because the stuff that I like Phantom of the Opera and Les Mis and Meatloaf, those are not easy songs to sing as a non-trained person, because you have all these big high notes and they're so dramatic. So I wanted to learn on a practical level because of learning how to sing that way without it hurting. And I had a brilliant, brilliant singing teacher in the School of Music named Robert Craig. God bless his soul. He passed away last year.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear.
What a brilliant man. He taught me about resonance and projection and how to flow through the way in the voice, because the biggest irony I found in the training process of singing is that you have to make it sound hard while being easy on yourself physically.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's actually something I've heard a few people say, you know, professional singers who've gone to singing for years say that. And it's true. You think it's so hard. And, you know, I admire every single musician that goes up on stage and performs, be it on theater or on a stage like you do. It is just absolutely fantastic. Can I ask, do you have any plans for the future, Kevin? Music wise?
Yes, I'm going to explore the Embrace the World concept further as this year goes. I'm hoping to bring out an EP before the end of the year with other versions of Embrace the World with different artists again. Like, one idea that I'm really looking into is doing a multilingual version again, which is inspired by Les Mis' 10th anniversary. Have you ever seen that one?
I was actually in a Les Miserables musical many years ago. Fun fact about me. So Les Mis is a big part of my life.
Oh, totally. I've sang Bring Him Home how many times at the functions and stuff. And at the end of that 10th anniversary concert, all the Valjeans come out and they sing Do You Hear the People Sing in different languages.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
Because without being too cliche, music is the universal language.
It is, though. I don't think that's cliche at all. I think it really, really is. And it's something, you know, when I did start this podcast that I wanted to include, because it is so powerful and it is something that, you know, reaches everyone no matter where they are. Like, I have listeners in Australia and England and in the US even. And, you know, music impacts everyone. I think that is so powerful. And I think you just proved that today, Kevin, as well, with your story.
Yeah, because even when you listen to someone sing in another language, you can still get a sense of who they are by the way they emote and the way they shape their voice and that kind of performer projection, the way that they project the character of the song.
Yeah.
And you can still feel that even though you don't understand the words. I mean, one of my favorite musicals is Sons of Empire.
Yeah, I think music is just so powerful and so amazing. And I cannot wait to hear where Embrace the World has to go next. I'm so excited for you, Kevin. But can I ask, what is one thing you wish people understood or knew about autism that sometimes can just be lost in translation, if you will, or misunderstood?
There's a lot of assumptions made. I'm not sure whether to call it a stigma or a bias. It's because stigma is kind of too strong a word, and maybe bias is too soft a word, but there's kind of assumptions made. And especially when, like, one of the areas I still struggle with is asking for help, kind of that natural sense of, especially kind of as a musician going through college, because people would get together naturally and collaborate naturally. But I never really kind of formed that social instinct. So people might assume, well, you don't want to do it because you're not checking in, or you might come off as cold or aloof or snobby or moody. But it's really because you want to participate, but you just don't know the right words or the right way to go about it. So it's a case of always checking in with the person.
Okay, that's really important. And you said there the importance of asking for help. How have you learned to do that now?
Through this project.
Yeah.
No, I'm actually serious.
How has that happened? Tell me a little bit about that.
Okay, because the biggest thing I'm getting out of this project is that I'm actually disclosing more about my diagnosis when working on this, as opposed to trying to hide it, which I would compare it to what used to do to left-handed people in the 50s. If they were left-handed, they'd force you to write with your right hand. And some people can learn how to do it and can write okay with the right hand, but it hurts a lot. Whereas when you left-handed and you're writing to left hand, then you feel free. You feel like your natural self. You feel you're not putting up this wall.
Yeah, I understand. And that's very much in touch with being, you know, the importance of being yourself, the importance of being who you are. And how have you learned to become yourself and accept yourself? Because I think that's something everybody goes through in their life, learning to, you know, accept the person who they are, be it that their sexuality or their diagnosis. Everyone kind of has to, I think, go through that little bit of time where we learn about ourselves and we accept ourselves. So what is the importance of that to you?
It's totally important, because I wouldn't have been bringing the song out otherwise. I would have been doing little bits and pieces to do with music, but I wouldn't have given myself the freedom to be an artist. I was sort of like denying that part of myself for a very long time. Oh, like, you can't be the artist because I'm this and I'm that, and people just kind of look at it as a sympathy vote rather than a means of empowerment.
Yeah, and I'm so delighted for you, Kevin, that, you know, you have overcome this and you have become a musician and you've just released this incredible song.
It's still a work in progress. I mean, this is still very much a new experience for me. It doesn't like come with a handbook or anything. And I'll tell you, it even feels scary at times, because sometimes I find it hard to conflate the artist that I watched on TV last night with myself in real life. And meeting all these new fabulous people who I could only have dreamed of meeting.
And I'm so delighted for you, Kevin, really and truly. And I can't wait for the song to come out. How can people listen to it? Where can people listen to it? And how can they follow you and get in contact with you?
I'm on Facebook and I'm on Instagram as Kevin Walsh Music. But the Embrace the World pages have their own social media pages as well. Embrace the World RSVP. RSVP stands for Red Sandstone Varied Productions, and it's the production company that have helped me put the song and the music video together. And you can listen to the song, it's out on the 13th, and we really want everyone to buy it on iTunes, because we're on a little campaign at the moment. We're looking to get it to number one on iTunes. And once it gets number one on iTunes, then we're pretty much, not in a cocky way, in that we'd be set for life, but it would really help Mass Am out. And it would really help us to approach the people that we want to approach for doing the multilingual versions, to have that accolade behind us.
100%, Kevin. So everyone listening now, get out your phones, get ready to pre-save this incredible song, Brace the World, because I have a funny feeling, Kevin, I think it is going to get to number one. You're so proud of the song, I can tell. And everyone who's works in it just seems so, so amazing. And your story is just fantastic.
I couldn't have met better people through this. And I'm absolutely delighted to have met you as well.
Oh, thank you so much, Kevin. I'm just honored you've reached out and you're here to talk about your story, because it was truly incredible to listen to it. But unfortunately, we are running out of time. But I am very interested in asking you, what is one quote you live by and why?
you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink.
Okay, why that one?
Because I find that very true of, because when you need a lot of support to overcome maybe certain issues you might have as an autistic, people might think, oh, well, the family does that, or the psychologists do it, or the speech and language therapists do it. They're an amazing help, and you wouldn't do it without them. But if the person doesn't have it within themselves to make those milestones, then that's why the refrain of the song is, it starts with you.
Yeah, I've actually never heard that quote before, and I really like it.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Because if you want to overcome your fears and your anxieties tomorrow, you could have the best helpers in the world, but unless you cooperate with the process and you engage with the process 110%, then it doesn't happen.
Amazing. I really like that one. I'll definitely be taking that quote away. But one thing people want to take away from our conversation here today, despite the fact that they should go and listen to the song and download it and get it to number one on iTunes, because I'm so excited to release it. For me to play it to everyone on my podcast, to share the release. I'm just so excited for you, and you're so passionate about it, which is fantastic.
That autistic people can sit down and have these kind of lovely conversations with people, and that we've a lot to say if we're given the space, support, and the right reinforcement to say it.
Definitely. And may there be many more conversations to be continued to have. Kevin, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It was an absolute pleasure. And I'm delighted you were here to mark the 1 year occasion of my podcast. Year anniversary.
Yeah.
Thanks a million. So of course, I cannot play the full Embrace the World song, but what I am going to do, I'm going to play a clip of it. If you're listening to this episode after April 13th, then you have the absolute privilege of going and listening to the full song. You can find it on iTunes. I am encouraging everyone to please go pre-save it and listen to it, because like Kevin said, they really want to get the song to number one, and I truly believe that they can. So go show it some support. Here's a clip of it now. Keep drumming your own beat. Embrace the world. Embrace the world.
Allow yourself to rise in love and befriend all humankind. If you wanna see the world, then you gotta feel the world. It starts with you.
So that is it. We have reached the end of this very special episode, the episode that marks the 1 year anniversary of this podcast. I have said all my thank yous, but I do want to say, if you want to follow me on Instagram, you can do so at @talkaboutapodcast. You can send me a DM there, and you will also find my email address if you want to get in contact with me there. Please make sure as well, wherever you're listening, that you follow the podcast, you subscribe, you like, leave a review and comment. It helps so much. You have no idea how much it means to me to, you know, get that extra follower and to get that extra review and comment. It does mean a lot, and it really helps grow my podcast, which I hope to continue to do in this next year. I've said all my thank yous. You guys are truly, truly incredible. I cannot wait to see where this podcast goes in the next few weeks, months, and years. You are all incredible. Thank you so much for listening to the very, very end. And I cannot wait for you all to come back and listen to the very next episode coming soon.
Thanks for listening, giving us your time to tune in. Join Emily, same time next week on Talk About It.
The intro and exit music you hear on every episode is by the very talented Hannah Kinsella. She's a singer-songwriter from Ireland in County Dublin. If you want to go show her some support, you can follow her on her Instagram page and YouTube @BuskyBops.